Oh, here we go. I figured out how to send everyone now. I'm amazing.
Uh-huh.
Sending failed.
Ha ha.
You're just saying that. You hit cancel.
I canceled your mom.
She died.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Mickey, you can't see anything with a straight face.
Hey, Mickey.
Something died.
Paladin.
That's what she said.
And Fort Max.
Because I sadly do not have anything better to do. Showtime.
Well, you're listening to Superhero Time, and I just broke Mickey's record from last week.
Damn it.
I dare you to beat that one.
I'll do it in the preview for next week's show.
But you won't know what the preview for next week's show will be.
Coming up next week on Superhero Time.
But that would be part of this episode.
Right.
But for the preview for next week's episode, though, it's a spoiler.
Or it could be stuff that isn't in next week's episode at all.
Yeah, it then.
Yes, this is Superhero Time.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. I just have to start my edits list. But yes, you're listening to Superhero Time. I'm XV, and with me this week, able to leap tall trees in single bound, is Fort Max.
Hello.
Hey, Mickey, the slow-thinking weapons expert.
Yo.
And, of course, our main squeeze paladin.
Hello.
But who does that make you?
I can't decide if I want to be the one guy or the other guy.
Can't you just combine them somehow?
Or you're an orphan.
In any case, I'm not the human outboard motor.
I'm sure someone's thankful for that.
No, I think I would be either Bernie Tanaka or Mel Fujitsu.
I'm pretty sure your mom would be Ho.
Well, anybody's mom can be a Dr. Ho.
Or maybe you're Cy Steinberg.
No, I don't think so.
So later on the show, we're going to have a discussion about the best Sentai series ever made. But first, we have to suffer through the boring part of our show.
But really, I think in the hierarchy of how our podcast system works here, I think Brian Kilby would be our Dr. Ho. Because Kilby's a Ho.
Yep.
Is what I'm saying.
We get you.
Yeah. Kilby sucks. So, Fort Max, I think you found the only actual bit of anything close to news this week.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about that, Fort Max?
Well, the regular White Ranger figure from the 2010 line is out. If you are to believe whoever it is doing Bandai America's Twitter account.
Here's a hint. You probably shouldn't. Nice.
So, yes, it's out. So anyway, it is out, like just like how the Power Rangers is airing on Nicktoons in October.
You're right.
Of course, one of those failings is Bandai, one of those failings is Saban, so.
But they both fail together, though. It's a synergy we haven't seen in a while.
Yes,
yeah, that's what it is.
The long history of partnered Bandai and Saban failure is something that we fans have missed for quite a few years. But really, nobody can fail quite as much as Disney.
Yeah, but Disney fails in the wrong way. Saban and Bandai together fail all kinds of right.
It's almost a charming failure.
Yeah, it's like it's a coming home.
It's endearing. It's like a little puppy with a broken leg.
It's more like a three-legged puppy.
More like
it's lame, but you love it anyway.
More like a puppy that keeps like trying to jump up on a pile of boxes and keeps breaking its leg.
It's a puppy that keeps going and pooping on your pile of clean clothes.
It's like that puppy that you cook a little bit too long and gets too tough to chew.
See, that would be a great segue if we had some, like, news out of China or something to talk about.
Or any news.
But specifically China, since it's about cooking dogs. I understand that when the Olympics went to China this last time, all the restaurants had to completely redesign their menus.
And serve chicken nuggets and pizza.
Which were probably still made out of things that you don't want to eat.
Yeah, especially the nuggets.
No, that sounds like chicken nuggets, so...
Or McNuggets.
They may claim to be all white meat, but they don't tell you where the white meat comes from.
McNuggets are just made from mixed substance. It's just a colorless matter that is pressed into shapes and, like,
the same stuff everything else as everything else you get from McDonald's, except for the ice cream and cookies.
And the ice cream is made from kelp, so.
No, mixed seriously. Substance. That's great.
And we know it's all Soylent.
Yeah, I'm trying not to hold back and just stick to diet Soylent for now.
So is mixed substance what Grimace always represented?
Probably. I always imagine mixed substance being more of a gray, though.
I guess, but then what was Grimace if he wasn't mixed substance?
Supposedly Grimace, milkshakes.
I think Grimace represented fear.
Wait, did you say he's supposed to represent the milkshakes?
Well, he did bring all the kids to the yard.
According to
the prison yard?
According to Ron, yeah, it's milkshakes.
Ron?
Wasserman?
Or the Wang.
Oh. Well, how does he know?
He's the person who's named his cats after Mick characters.
If I have a girl, I'm gonna name her Saren, like the nerve gas. I think it's pretty. And maybe like Malady for a middle name. Saren Malady. Although if it's twin boys, it's totally gonna be Cain and Abel, just to see what happens.
That's so terrible.
I know.
Leave that part in.
Yeah, I'll work that around some way where it can stay in.
This is going to turn out like like one of the early season 2 episodes, isn't it?
Wait, what?
This is going to turn out like one of the early Power Rangers season 2 episodes, isn't it?
How do you mean? Well, come on, Fort Max, you're the one who
I
made the comparison.
I think it means you're going to edit this in with another podcast and try and make it make sense.
Yeah, I'm going to go get 3 ringers after we're done here and get them to dub over your dialogue and really bad impressions.
You're just going to cut in some stuff from New Soundwave in with us?
Yeah,
that would kind of fit the Dynaman theme.
And next week we get to talk about Die Ranger. Speaking of season 2.
The Lost Sentai. Well, kind of lost. Half lost.
Well, maybe about a quarter lost. I think they did eventually get off the island, though.
I'm a nickel lost. I gave it to your mom.
I put a cell medal in your mom's slot, but nothing came out.
You have to put a whore medal in.
What color is a whore medal, then? If the cell medals are silver and the others are, like, translucent-y, what's a whore medal look like?
I don't know what color they are, but they're wet.
Actually, Fort Max's answer is the best. It looks like a nickel.
I wonder what those yummies look like.
Well, as you can see, we have nothing to talk about today.
But that's not stopping us from talking anyway.
That's right.
But it never would.
Well, let's see. In previous weeks, we've killed time by deciding what Sentai based on Sesame Street and Scrubs would be like. Anything leaping off your heads today?
Golden Girls. Be Arthur in colored spandex.
Well, no. See, if it would be Golden Girls, you'd either have to adapt it as Sailor Moon or Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, Sailor Moon would be awesome with Golden Girls in it.
Of course, it's too bad that 3 of the 4 are dead now.
Plus, there's 4 of them and not 5, so that creates additional problems.
And it doesn't really work with the Powerpuff Girls theme either.
No,
unless you just go with the ones
who
died.
Just make one of them princess.
But which one?
Doesn't matter.
Kind of does.
Well, Blanche is always closest to being the villain, I thought.
Well, I thought she was the closest to being your mom.
Not large enough. Oh, wait. What was the fourth Powerpuff Girl?
There was a fourth?
Purple. Was it Betty?
What?
What?
What the hell are you talking about?
It was one episode.
No, I know how to fix this. Just make Estelle Getty into Mojo Jojo. No?
No.
No.
Bunny. That was it.
I don't remember there being a fourth Powerpuff Girl.
One second here. This is the only picture I can find of her right now, but...
Okay, I totally don't remember that.
Is it like a Halloween episode or something?
The girls decide to make their own sister, and they start throwing everything into the mix that they could.
Okay, so my understanding is that there's a formula the professor had to be able to make Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, so it's sugar, spice, everything nice, and Chemical X.
Right, but what I'm getting at here is, if that was the case, couldn't he potentially, you know, make more and raise an army of Powerpuff Girls?
Well, it's hard enough to raise three girls when you're a single dad. I don't think he really wants to raise any more.
But still, I mean, if it's that easy for the three of them to make their own sister, misshapen as she is.
Yeah.
You know, surely there must be some application out there for mass production Powerpuff Girls. Admittedly, most of them would probably get you arrested.
Well, it's not like it's the Japanese Powerpuff Girls show.
Yeah, I've never seen any of that.
I'm making a point to avoid it as hard as I can. Because just, ugh.
See, that should precisely. Be an adaptation decay topic.
But are
reverse
any of us
adaptation
going
decay?
Even...
It's still adaptation, what? No matter which direction it goes in.
But are any of us going to actually sit through and watch an episode?
Well, of course not. Well, I don't know, Paladin might.
No.
He's pervy like that.
Not that much.
Well, I just figure if you got with his mom, then, you know, there wouldn't be that many limits.
What?
I don't know. I was trying for a your mom joke, and it failed hard.
Much like your mom.
Yeah. Now I'm sad.
So is your mom.
So, Japanese people in brightly colored spandex.
It's not spandex.
Only in RPM is it not spandex. Nothing else is cool enough to justify it being not spandex.
The Dynaman dub is.
We're not there yet.
This is the closest thing we have to a topic, so I'm trying to pull it in.
It's not...
What?
It's not time for Dynaman yet. Check your watch.
Well played.
But do you still have your watches on?
I do.
Even Mel Fujitsu checked for his watch.
Oh, Morris. Do you know that him and Prince did not get along well in Purple Rain?
So
it was
that's
a whole subplot to the movie.
So that Golden Girls Sentai thing didn't really go anywhere, did it?
No, not really. Mm. It was kind of forced.
Yeah.
We'll have to try better next time. I know, it really does have to come out more naturally than that. If we were really going to try to force a topic, though, it would be Power Rangers based on Pokemon.
Yeah, that's... That would be forcing it, because that just sounds incredibly stupid.
Probably like 30 fanfics already about that, so let's leave it alone.
There's probably at least one slash fic about it, too.
Just one?
At least one.
Well, isn't that like a subset of Rule 34?
I never follow the rules. I'm a rule breaker.
Right. So, anything else you want to kill time with?
We do have episodes somewhere, don't we?
I see. So, Paladin is in favor of jumping right into talking about Ghostager. Is that what I'm understanding?
The faster we talk about it, the faster it can get over with.
Okay, Paladin's not on Twitter, but did the other two of you notice my tweet last night about it?
I did. I almost went and downloaded the episode because of the tweet, but I realized, no, I'm not falling for that. It's a trick.
No, the correct phrasing is, it's a trap.
No, it's a trick. Get an axe.
That's a trap.
Silly rabbit.
Tracks are for wheeljacks.
Yeah.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
I'm bored. Let's talk about Ghost Sager.
Probably first and last time we'll ever hear that.
I'll regret it soon enough.
Episode 33?
Yep.
What was that one called?
Let's see here. The Dreadful the Dreadful New Machine Empire.
Are they dreadful?
Or dread-filled?
About as dreadful as it usually gets for watching a Ghost Sager episode.
Very appropriate.
So, are they awesome robots like the Terminator, or are they lame robots like Terminator 3?
Yes.
Yeah, little from column A, little from column B.
Okay. Right now, there's the two commanders. One of them is named Metal Alice.
That's fairly awesome.
Her catchphrase.
Michaela didn't hit her hard enough.
Her catchphrase seems to be climax.
Getting more awesome.
And then there's the other guy who I forget.
Robogog.
Robogog.
But seriously?
That's a pretty good name, I gotta admit.
Really?
Robogog?
That's his name, Robogog.
That's not as good as Metal Alice.
That sounds like a Lost in Space villain.
Maybe it was. I don't remember Lost in Space that well.
So yeah, they did stuff.
Right.
But most of the episode was about Nozomu.
Yeah, so that's not what we're talking about. So anyway.
they made a robot stuff. Nozomu?
They haven't been that cruel yet, but I wouldn't put it that way.
No, this episode is mostly about Nozomu being stupid.
And the whole episode devoted
like
to it?
Of the series.
What, Paladin?
I said you just summed up like 90% of the series.
Yes, but this was the intentional focus of the episode.
Yeah.
Because Nozomu's all angsty about the Ghost Sagers eventually leaving, even though the Ghost Sagers are directly responsible for the new Tower of Heaven being destroyed, just like the old one.
Yes.
I can understand why he'd want to keep them around.
It's amazing they haven't burned his house down yet.
At the same time, I have to give credit to Alada for realizing that he doesn't belong in this world. That's pretty much exactly what he said.
Yeah. But yeah, the biggest point of Nozomu being stupid is when Ghost Knight's trapped under a burning car and some debris is going to fall on him, Nozomu throws his own body over Ghost Knight to protect him. Because that makes perfect logical sense.
Are we sure that Ghost Knight didn't pull him on top as a human shield?
Sadly, I think we are.
Maybe Ghost Knight's got some telekinetic powers he's been hiding. Well, maybe Nozomu just thinks he's Hot Rod.
Probably.
The human shield.
So, yeah, anyway, Paladin?
That's about it, really.
Did Ghost Sage Ultimate show up again?
Of course.
They still gotta sell that toy.
But so, it hasn't combined with Ghost Sage Great.
Has he surfed on it yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Been just him so far.
And it probably won't be next week either because that appears to be just Ghost Sage Ground or whatever, Ghost Sage Great. No, not
Grand?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Damn Ghost Sage names.
Ghost Sage
Biscuits. My ball again. Where'd my ball go?
Well, did it start saving those nickels?
It distresses me you keep referring to it in the singular.
That's because I only have one.
Yes, that's alarming.
Oh, how'd they get all the way over there?
Ideally, you need to keep them in prime numbers. Except
but yeah,
one.
Next week's Ghost Ager is Ghost Age Ultimate fighting alongside Ghost Age Grand.
I hate Ghost Age Ultimate.
Why?
Kind of sucks.
It very much sucks. It's the most boring, half-assed mech design of the entire show, and that includes Data's Hyper.
I wonder if Data's Hyper can combine with Ghost Age Ultimate.
I think some people have tried.
Where it is the big jet cape thing.
Not quite that way, I think.
You know, with the ostrich helicopter hat.
Man, why doesn't the show have Data's more Hyper? Ostriches in it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, they introduced the ostrich Zord, and then they barely ever use it.
I know, it was like
except
the best part
Except as Data's helicopter hat every once in a while.
Yeah, they use it to help Datus. What a f***ing waste.
Yeah, I was expecting more accessory Zords from this show.
Or just something.
I thought Ostrich was going to be like the first of many, but no, it was just only one.
Ghost Age just kind of fails everywhere.
Yeah. It succeeds at failing.
I do something like the that. Zords, though. I'll admit that.
I'd say I like half of them.
Which half?
Great and Ground.
Okay, that's mostly the good half.
At least the candy toys all generally look nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, it would be very sad.
And Ultimate's candy isn't out for a while yet.
Yeah, when does that come out, Fort Max?
End of this month.
Ah. Okay, then.
Right.
Well, that sure was some Ghost Ager we just talked about.
Precisely.
It was completely something.
What? Yeah.
It was completely something.
As the intro says, it's completely uninteresting.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. But you know what isn't completely uninteresting?
O's.
Your mom?
Well, whatever.
O's.
O's?
O's.
Now, try to sing the tune for the new form from this episode.
Whatever.
Max?
I can't do it. I've tried.
I'm sure you have. So yeah, O's.
Awesome.
Usually is.
Let's see.
Yeah, Fort Max, you had a couple parts in there that you liked, didn't you?
Well, let's see. There's the chair fort.
Mm-hmm. My fort.
That was very endearing.
Well, you know, I realized we found out, you know, weeks and weeks ago that the series writer for Deno was going to be working on O's. And even if just in a vague way, I do kind of get reminded of Deno's Imogen with the greeds.
See, I wish I had seen more of Deno so I could agree with you on that, but...
Well, you should watch some then.
I know, but we've been over this.
Have we?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to watch it because the audio syncs off. And I'm lazy.
Well, that's unfortunate.
But yes, there's the chair fort, and the fact that it's just doing it because, well, there are bar stools around, and what else are you going to do with them?
That's a valid point.
It's either make a chair fort or start beating people with them, I guess.
It's like the Greed chose this awesome abandoned bar to be their base, and once they got there, they kind of realized, hey, wait, this is kind of boring. What are we going to do here?
I bet there's not even any alcohol for them there.
Not yet, anyway.
Well, it's okay because, you know, female Greed is not old enough to drink anyway. Since she looks like she's wearing a 14-year-old for her human form.
Yeah, does that mean, like, they're human forms? Do they kill these people? Or are they just possessing them like Ankh is possessing Officer Casualty? Or
They kind of have not made that clear.
So theoretically, these people got the shit murdered out of them.
Or they're just... There's that, or it could be that they're being possessed, or it could be that they're just making themselves look like them.
No, because remember, they said maybe she hasn't found a form that she likes yet.
Yeah.
So, apparently they were hunting people to some degree.
Or it may be as simple as finding someone that they want to look like.
Oh, and copying them, too. Yeah, I guess that works.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're dead, though. Seems like something the greed would do.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Dead or have their brains erased or
something. Or they could have found people who were already dead or something.
Oh, then you've got an already dead 14-year-old girl, and that's not really much better.
But yes, cheer for it. And also, we get, well, find out more about how the metal technology works, which is Kate Guy wills it to.
Yeah, no, that was just, because that, Kate Guy is awesome.
No, that was just a bluff. I mean, they showed afterward that it wasn't that. It was, what's his name? Courier Guy. Sitting there with the remote control.
No, to me, it looked like to me that he was seeing if his was working now.
No, I think that was a demonstration for the audience's sake that what was going on the whole time was he was pushing the off button.
Hmm.
Could be.
Because obviously, you know, that also demonstrates that the Kogami Foundation people don't have to use the cell metals to make the ride vendors at least turn into the motorcycles.
Also, they've built their vending machines with remote controls.
Well, that is just, that's logical. I mean, who doesn't want a remote control vending machine?
That way you can get a soda without having to get up.
Well, see, I didn't get a good look at it. Maybe that wasn't, you know, an actual remote control. Maybe it was an iPhone with the vending machine app on it.
But yeah, we'll, when the HD subs come out, yeah, we'll probably be able to get a better look.
Although, we did get a nice look at Kate Guy's incredible red suit. Apparently, it's textured, which makes it even better.
Yes. And, of course, also, happy birthday to our contract.
I like and give and take.
The best cake reveal ever.
Yes. 60%. No higher. Happy birthday.
An Onksaw, you mother. When this show is over, I'm going to edit out all the parts with Kate Guy and string them together in one long video of nonstop awesome.
And also, we get more awesome interaction of Insanely Strong Girl with other people.
Yeah, I'm starting to like her character more and more. She's not as crazy as the rest of them, but she's starting to become endearing.
Well, it's the best part about her is other people's reactions to, about her. For instance, Snobby Rich Girls.
No, we're calling her Bitch School.
Well.
Yeah, Bitch School.
But yes, Bitch Bitch School Girls comment of asking if she's a monster that was that
when she opened the elevator
that
doors
was mentioned, yeah. That what that he that she was warned about.
Yeah, it's nice that she seems to just be like absent-mindedly super strong. Fits the character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of mixed on this. I kind of want them to explain why she is that strong, and I also kind of want it to just be, well, she's just that strong and not pay any real attention to it anymore. You know, she just is.
Yeah. Though, though I would be all for it if it was explained by, if it was explained by Kate Guy's cakes being just that awesome.
Does she get to eat any of those cakes?
Not yet, I think.
Yeah, I don't think she's in that loop yet.
She has birthdays.
Well, doesn't mean she's had a Kogami cake, though. Plus, Kogami doesn't seem to be about, like, mass production. He just does one at a time. Because he enjoys
yeah,
they're
works of art.
That's right.
They are.
Oh, there was also this.
Well,
something we...
Yeah, you only, it looks like you only sent that to me.
I don't know how to send multiple files, to be clear.
Well, in the group conversation window, there should be a conversation thing in the menu at the top with a send option.
This is Mac. Everything's fucked up on it.
Obviously.
I don't know how to send it to Paladin. I'm sorry. Someone else send it to him.
I nominate Fort Max.
He still hasn't accepted it yet.
I don't see anything.
Maybe I have to wait for XP's to finish. I don't know.
Maybe.
Though also, I do love the image
yes.
O sitting on top of the vending machine on its side.
Right.
Yeah, that was what I was just
like,
saying.
It's changed. That is currently my desktop background.
I don't like this quote in particular. Hey, it changed.
Yeah.
One thing I liked in this episode is that, at least partly, Ankh has taken AG off the leash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's realized it'd be very inconvenient if his ace in the hole happened to die when he wasn't around.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. And something else
Ankh's
we learned in this
slow.
Episode.
Ankh is just, like, self-important. He doesn't realize that there is any benefit in, you know, using other people besides his immediate tools, like to get ice cream from.
Or to use to get medals.
Same difference.
Yeah.
You know, he's starting to realize that it's not about what you can do for me right this minute, it's about what you can do for me as time goes on.
Yeah.
He's the cleverest of the greed, which is kind of sad.
Especially since he's the one who is only an arm. He has more brains in his one arm than the others do in their whole body.
Well, Mezul seems pretty smart.
Which one is Mezul?
Whalehead.
The girl. 14-year-old girl.
That lays eggs in people's homes.
Yeah.
Ew.
Scary piranha crab silver fishy thing eggs.
Here's a random question about the greed. Do the core metals grow back? Because that's kind of the impression we get from this episode.
How so?
Well, remember, they lost the mantis metal to the lion guy, but then they had it again in this time so he could use the three beetle combination.
They took a mantis metal from Uva.
Yeah, I think there's
from Uva.
Copies of them.
Yeah, because they have... Because, yeah, Ankh has two of the hawk medals.
Right.
That we've he
yeah,
has
each
them.
Medal is not unique.
Yeah. O's and Ankh currently have two each of the cheetah and tiger medals. So,
which seems kind of pointless to have multiple of the same medal, doesn't it?
Yeah,
well,
kind of a mixed signal.
Well, when the storytelling seems to be about trading them back and forth with the greed through fighting, it kind of makes sense to have multiples if you can.
But if they have multiples,
well,
then
always
how do
carry
you
a spare.
Them?
What?
If you've got multiples, you just put them on the global trade system and wait for someone to exchange it for one that you want.
But the global trade system is f***ed up anyway, so nobody uses it.
Well, that's why they're short so many medals.
But see, this is why they show at the beginning of the episode what medals are in their collection, so that you can keep up with how it's progressing.
Imagine by the end of the series, that's going to be a pretty big list.
Maybe.
Unless he doesn't hold on to them for very long.
My figuring is that once the power-up upgrade thing comes in, there won't be any need to keep track of what medals are available or not anymore.
I don't think I'll get up any core medals to Kagami.
You're buzzing again.
Well, actually, I would just say you're buzzing, since it's the first time this episode. And now he's gone.
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, on topic, they could give Oz a power-up form like Cyclone Joker Extreme, where he could use multiple medals. At least more than currently.
Well, like one of those change dispensing belts the car hops at Sonic have?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I've always wanted one of those.
Of course,
dispensers.
I think of the first think of those as That thing that guy from Shining Time Station had.
What's that?
One of those change dispensing belts.
Yeah.
No, what's a Shining Time Station?
You are such an old man.
Seriously?
I'm sorry, I didn't grow up with your Teletubbies. I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, this was like back 1990, dude.
I know, I'm being obstinate.
Yeah, obviously. Because if that was 1990, I know that you're about the right age to remember that. You're not that much older than I am.
It means you missed out on Ringo Starr and George Carlin as Mr. Conductor.
Ringo Starr is totally the best Beatle. And I say this because that band was going nowhere until he joined them. Right after Ringo joined, that's when they got popular. Therefore, that's why I maintain he's the best one.
No, George Carlin was the best Beatle.
No, George Carlin was Rufus, which makes him the best at everything.
Actually, Gattak was the best Beatle, but that's a different debate.
So, I'm looking here at a still of Gata Biri Kiri, what the hell all insect O's is called.
Gata Kiriba.
Yeah. I'm noticing the Bata legs on him, on his chest shield. It still has the gold bar underneath it.
It does?
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing that that one little gold strip on the outside of the circle doesn't really match up with the rest of the costume.
It does?
It's the same gold as the gold on the little scanner thing.
Yeah, but it should be a nice green circle all the way around, I think.
It should.
Or it should be a gold circle all the way around. I just...
What?
I don't know.
I'm confused.
Hold on a sec.
There we go.
Where is this still?
Well, I had the video on pause. Mm.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. I guess that could have been, could have been green.
Compelling says, failed. I have not accepted a contact request from this person. I don't know what the hell that even means.
Well, that's interesting.
And again.
Well done. Let's see.
Okay, whatever. What were we talking about?
Gold
bands. But I think we got through all of that.
Oh, we didn't cover one thing about O's.
Which is?
Is what the special combo of insect metals does.
It
makes
swarms.
Him a swarm of O's.
So I just said it swarms.
I didn't hear you say that.
Well, you should listen.
I could be bothered with other people.
Just like Ankh.
He listens. He's just too old to hear anything.
What?
Thank you.
And apparently, having a full combo of metals apparently can be too powerful for a human, and I wouldn't be surprised if that may have had something to do with what happened to the previous writer.
Well, the very first Yummies did say, "You'll be sorry." So, yeah, $10 says that the previous O's writer had to sacrifice himself in order to put the greed away.
Sounds about right. Actually, in a way, this reminds me a little bit of Kuga, since, as I recall, Kuga's belt was used to seal away the monsters from that series also.
I thought it was interesting this episode, that bit where Eiji was grabbing all that money that Bitch School threw out. And they're making it look like he was about to take the money. Until he finally revealed he was just gathering up and looking at it and he was going to go give it back to her. Mm-hmm. I thought that was well played the way they did it, because I was really confused by his actions right there.
Well, he had to smooth it out first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he kept a little bit of it. We don't know.
Well, he does have to buy some underwear.
Yeah. And Ankh's ice cream. Ankh does eat too much ice cream.
Yeah, he's going to start putting on weight. But if he does...
He technically did. The hell does he care?
If he does start putting on weight, well, just his arm get bigger or his whole body?
I think it's just his arm would get fat, so he'd never look like the twins in Revenge of the Fallen.
So sad. And I guess having to give up 60% of the cell metals is how they're going to explain how Ankh doesn't regenerate any further than just a forearm for most or all of the series.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't even consider that.
It would make sense.
So, at this point, who do you think is going to be the main villain for the show? The Foundation or the Greed?
Ankh.
Cake guy.
Probably a living chair fort.
You're a living chair fort.
Your mom's a chair fort.
But she's
bad
not living.
Bad pun, XV.
I think from now on you're going to be chair fort, Max.
That's charitable of you. Ha! Ha!
Could be worse. I could declare that he's Chairface Chippendale. Then you have to go write his name on the moon.
I'm not sure I like the comparison between Fort Max and Chippendales.
Well, you never know. We don't know what Fort Max looks like.
I assumed he was looked like Fort Max.
Well, anyway, so next week another new medal.
Okay. Yeah, was it Lion? It looks like.
Yeah, Lion Head.
So, are we getting another combo this soon after that, or?
Well. I guess either next episode or the one after.
Now, next episode, that's the one that supposedly has the iPhone app.
Oh, is it already?
This week was 6.
That was fast.
Well, at least with Cake Guy getting more involved, we can might have a reason why there's a software application for finding metals. Is that he probably had his evil corporation make it?
Yeah.
It might not be for the first down payment.
It might not
be an evil corporation.
It's
so those cakes seem pretty benign.
Well, so do tumors.
Except for the malignant ones.
Yeah, but they all start out benign.
No, I think the malignant ones are malignant to start with.
No. You need more science schooling.
Well, you deal with more dead people than I do, so you'd know.
Not really. I'm kind of talking out my ass here, so.
I was trying to think of a good thing to say I was doing up your mom's ass, but, you know. Oh, we should probably mention before we move on that Bitch School ended up going to have a real job at the end of the episode.
At a bakery.
Conveniently enough.
Very.
Probably a Kogami Foundation bakery.
Yeah, she seems strangely happy about having a job. That didn't ring
normal.
Especially true to me.
No, that's not normal. You don't go from having all the money in the world to working in a bakery and be happy about it.
You know, while I'm looking at Toys R Us, I always found it to be kind of cruel that we sold, like, cash register toys to children.
Because it's basically just giving them early training for what they'll be doing for the rest of their lives.
Well, because cashiers aren't fun. A cash register is, like, torture.
Though granted, I could understand why she'd be happy, given that she actually had something to do with her time now.
No, I think it would be more a matter of being happy because she would at least have enough money to buy ramen noodles.
As long as she can keep buying more stuff to satisfy her desire.
Right.
That's the lesson we learned. Do whatever it takes to buy more things.
Yes. That's not a wrong message at all.
Of course not.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if the bakery she's in is in the Kogami Foundation building.
Or at least one of them.
Yeah.
There's apparently several.
Well, it's like H.E. said, you know, the desire isn't bad, it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm. Desire is what keeps people going.
Yes. Desire is what keeps your mom going.
Well,
desire
for
sex
is
food.
What... Desire is what nickels. Keeps me going to your mom. I agree with Paladin. So, anything else to say about O's?
I think that's it.
It's still fantastic.
Thankfully.
It is pretty fun, isn't it?
Oh, there was a trailer at the end for the movie. Or a preview, or whatever you want to call it. With Skull and Double in it.
Mm-hmm.
Must not have been on the version I got.
It's the one you sent to me.
Not the one I watched, though.
Oh, okay.
You know, that subtitle didn't come out until late that night. I was in a hurry.
So there.
Well, Skull's going to fight more masquerades.
Yes.
Tell me you're surprised by that.
Well, the most of the double portion of the movie is supposed to be about Skull's origin, so.
I'd just like to see Skull fight something that's, you know, not a mook.
Oh, I'm sure he'll fight some actual, you know, worthwhile dope hunt.
I mean, because...
Maybe we'll finally see the ocean memory.
No, this is set like 10 years before the series, so probably not. No, you'll never get to see the ocean memory for it, Max.
There's a rhino memory. Sort of.
Sort of. Well, there's an injury memory.
I don't recall that.
The letter I on is represented as a broken bone.
Huh.
There's also an umbrella memory, which I'm curious about.
Penguin.
And jazz. There's a jazz memory. I imagine that gives you the power to get ripped in half.
It turns you into Scatman Crothers. I want that memory.
Speaking of Gaia memories, there's another set of the sound Gaia memories coming out in January, I think.
Was it just like wave two of the noises, or?
This is like series 6 or 7 of the sound Gaia memories.
Mm. Oh, so this isn't like the Gaia memory you have.
It's... Like the case.
No, it's not the Dope Hunt memory.
Oh, okay.
Although there is the complete selection set of Dope Hunt memories that the Bandai Premium Shop is going to sell.
That only costs you your immortal soul and your firstborn child?
About $200, I think.
Yeah.
It's a set of 30
all the ones
something.
From the show except for Quetzalcoatlus. Quetzalcoatlus, however it's pronounced.
Quetzalcoatlus?
Yes.
Go for it, Max.
Thank.
And I'm sure that one's only not in there because it'd be too hard to fit the wings in the suitcase.
And it would require a new mold.
Or just gluing an extra piece onto a regular Dope Hunt memory.
Which would require new molds.
Yeah, but when it's one of these Bandai Premium things, they don't really care about that.
Bandai doesn't care about anything.
No, they really don't. So, yeah, I guess we should take a break.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll start up with the glory of Dynaman.
Yeah, because we got things to talk about.
Happy birthday!
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Mandatory sequence has been initiated!
Tenso Sentai Gosager currently ranks as the most frustrating Sentai I have ever watched. It is a maddening fusion of interesting elements and mediocre writing, coupled with an utter lack of charisma on behalf of the entire cast. But one of the few elements the Gosager series has done correctly is the mecha. These Gosei machines are, in my opinion, a rather impressive step up from the somewhat lackluster Origami from last year. That, coupled with Bandai of America's stubborn refusal to pull its head out of its ass and get us a f***ing Dragonzord, meant the Gosei line received my undivided attention regarding primary Megazord releases. Well, the last major release for the Gosager line has apparently hit the shelves, and while some are taking the chance to cheer over this show's increasingly close ending, I'm going to use this opportunity to analyze this new machine, Gosei Ultimate. When the Gosagers yet again find themselves in a fight they cannot win, they receive aid from Master Head, the series' Zoran-ish stand-in, and get the keys to their own personal Star Destroyer. This ultimate battleship is a pretty impressive flying craft. The ship comes with 5 new headers for the Gosager team, which appear to be a fusion of the original headers and the golden Lucky Draw headers that grant the Gosagers power-up mode. These new Miracle headers are somewhat smaller than the original releases, but still possess the same universal connection joint that allows for some additional play value. The Gosager ship transforms to robot mode to battle as Gosei Ultimate. This gray golem is the largest of the Gosei machines and definitely feels like an impressive fighting force that can battle aliens, monsters, or whatever other foes the Gosagers have interfered with at the moment. Articulation is pretty acceptable for a Megazord and could probably be considered above average for something of this size class. Gosei Ultimate's main weapons are a pair of curved swords which can combine to form a single bow-like weapon. but arrows are not included, sadly. Finally, there is a combination of sorts between Gosei Ultimate and Gosei Great. Ultimate converts to back to ship mode and forms a gigantic flying backpack. The combination isn't very impressive, but it does hold together well. I will probably never forgive myself for saying this, but I am legitimately impressed with something that Gosager has done. We have finally broken the trend of end-of-year cluster
your mom
combinations. My eternal thanks to Toei for not trying to cram everything together into one ungodly immobile brick of an Ultrazord yet again. Overall, Gosei Ultimate is a competent but not entirely interesting final entry in this lineup. If you like the other Gosager mecha like I did, then you'll probably like Gosei Ultimate too. But if not, it's probably too late in the game to change your mind on this sort of thing. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more heroic ramblings on Superhero Time.
Your mom.
5 Dyna Kids, 5,000 lizards, and Mr. Fabulous fight it out when Dynaman continues after this.
FigureReviews.com, covering all your toy review needs. The best in photography, with detailed reviews and high-quality video. FigureReviews.com has over 200 reviews, nearly 4,000 photos, and now features the bite-sized podcast and a growing library of video reviews. Quality matters. FigureReviews.com.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Hello, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I am also on one of our other podcasts, which is Fanboy Versus, and I really think you should check it out. Fanboy Versus is our comic book podcast, and each week we bring you lots of fun news and information around the comic book world. It is hosted by JD Church and features Ender, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and of course me, Brian Kilby.
And Christ, yeah, just was dreadful. So that one I did try to read, and it's just abominable. Character, you know, the first issue alone, every 2 pages, a character literally drops to their knees, throws their hands up to their heavens, and just cries, "Justice!"
I wish I was joking.
Check it out at tfradio.net. Comes out weekly. If you like comic books, you'll love Fanboy Versus. And Fanboy Versus is brought to you by Value Mags. Check them out at tfradio.net/comics.
Welcome back to the Adventures of Dynaman.
This week, it's the next installment in Adaptation Decay, if you could call it Decay. Mickey, you've been wanting to talk about this for how long?
For quite a while.
I mean, like, basically since we started doing the show, probably?
Probably, yeah.
You know, that's been almost a year now.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, our very first show was January 4th. So we're fast approaching that 1 year mark.
Although we've missed a couple of weeks, though, haven't we? So
shut up.
Does it count?
Shut up.
Oh, okay.
Everybody needs a vacation. Especially the listeners.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so part two in Adaptation Decay is Dynaman.
The ultimate persuader in the relentless battle against evil. These are the adventures of Dynaman.
Yes, it is. Dynaman is where I get to show off how fantastically old I am.
Yes, as if you don't already do that every single week.
I know. But Dynaman,
so old.
Or at least the American adaptation of it, is the first Sentai we ever got in America. And I was actually aware of it when it aired. I watched it on television late at night on USA.
And how old were
and
you?
And so, I want to say 7 or 8, maybe.
And what year was that?
I want to think, was it 88? I don't know. I could have looked this shit up, but I didn't, so deal with it. Anyway, so I thought Sentai at the time was the best thing ever because I had no idea what the hell it was. I knew it was funny, and there was cool costumes and giant live-action Voltron robots. And so later on, when Power Rangers first aired, I thought, oh, shit, I remember this stuff. This was great. And then I watched Power Rangers, was immensely disappointed by it. And then as time went on, I thought that I had imagined Dynaman.
Because oh, that's kind of sad.
The internet had nothing on it for, you know, forevers.
But, you know, old senility will do that to you.
Yes, true. Yep. But now it's 2010, and we've got Dynaman on YouTube, and we've got the original Japanese Dynaman on YouTube, so we're doing this.
I mean, really, if there was ever a justification for YouTube's existence, it's the USA Network dub of Dynaman.
Because it is fantastic.
But that's not what we're talking about right now.
No, we're going to start off with the original, the Japanese Dynaman.
Yeah.
The boring one. Is,
it's not boring. It's not as glorious, but it's still pretty fantastic.
It's
boring by comparison.
Lots of explosions.
It's got a chick stabbing some guy in the neck with a sword. How can you hate that?
The problem with the Japanese version is I don't remember anybody's names.
Well, yeah, there's Dinah Red and Dinah Pink. I mean, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but what about anybody's names?
Names are unimportant. What's important is that Dinah Pink throws exploding roses at people.
Does she impale them in the butt with them? Because if not, I'm not really seeing how this is better than Ryu Kendo last week.
Yeah, okay, there was no butt impaling. Which, that always makes things slightly worse if the butt's not getting impaled by something.
I mean, wouldn't exploding rose sodomy be better than just exploding roses?
Probably.
Yeah, sodomy improves most attacks, really.
I'm sorry, you were saying something?
The villains in Dynaman I found particularly fascinating. And that they have a whole tale-based society. Well, the whole reason they want to take over Earth is because humans can't grow tails, therefore they're not fit to be around.
Obviously, they've never been to Alabama.
And so, apparently, from what I can gather, their ranking in the villain hierarchy is determined by how many tails you have.
It's kind of like Gow Ranger, then.
Yeah, I mean, that was
like
basically
Vader Zim.
What?
Yeah, it's somewhat like the Tallens in Vader Zim.
Oh.
Yes, tallest. The person who rules the planet is the one who's the tallest.
Yeah.
Seems logical.
And so the putties and the shirt is regular human-looking people until they squat and shit tails out of their asses, and then they get their spandex costumes on.
What a strange way to transform.
Dynaman's a very strange show, but it's
well,
strange,
it is an early 80s Sentai. I mean, they kind of just
pretty
were.
Typical among
and
those.
What with one of the episodes revolving around turning people into lizards.
Yeah.
And the Japanese episode we watched wasn't the same episode as the American one we watched, right?
Yeah.
They were okay. The Japanese one started off with people being put in giant watermelon boulders or something. I'm not too clear what was going on there, but they're splitting them open and rescuing people from them.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the point of capturing them in the pods was. Usually the people come out of the pods.
Because they're pod people.
That's right.
Yeah.
And sadly, the dub version of that episode did not make a pod people joke.
Well, pod people, it's in the Japanese movie, so it wouldn't.
No,
the American dub didn't.
Well, I'm saying it wouldn't, because remember, it's a simulcast being automatically dubbed.
That's true.
Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah, the Japanese Dynaman also had villains on horseback. You know,
which
that's always nice.
Also, was not uncommon in older Sentai using horses.
Yeah.
Or using your mom.
No, that's horse says.
I was about to make that clarification myself.
Consider it clarified.
Yes. Wish your mom would clear up, though.
She needs Clearasil.
Well, she needs penicillin.
Oh, speaking of your mom, the kaiju thingy in this episode was a giant crab that fired crab bombs.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, Oz was full of crabs, too.
Yeah, it was a very crustacean-y kind of week for Sentai for us.
So yeah, Japanese Dynaman's kind of nuts in that 80s Sentai kind of way.
It's nuts in a good way, though. It's not nuts in a boring way like Changeman was.
It's nuts in that, why the hell did that just happen way?
Yeah.
Of course, what I liked in the Japanese version of the first episode was that the crab monster blew all five of them off of the cliff into the ocean before they became Dynamen. Mm-hmm. And somehow they still all wound up at their destination together a short time later, surprised everybody else was still alive.
That's because they're Dynamen. They're not,
and of course, you don't ever actually see them emerging from the ocean at any point either. They're just blown away, and then the next scene, they're at the laboratory/daycare center. Continuity, you gotta love it.
So, Dynaman also featured a three-piece mecha, which
was also not unusual at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just odd seeing two people share one cockpit. That just, it throws me off.
Yeah, usually you have to pay extra for that.
But I'm bumps.
Of course, granted, it's, of course, it's not like we even saw it. Even Power Rangers did that in season 3, so not that strange.
Well, no, it was worse when Power Rangers did it.
Of course, the Dynaman Mecha also has a great finisher attack. Science Sword Lightning Gravity Drop.
Everything is science.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a science task force.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much science in this episode.
Right.
Well, they're powered by science, or something.
So,
they're powered by they're powered by the vague concept of science.
They know that science exists and that it's powerful.
They're powered by the mythical energies of science.
They're powered by the verb science.
Well, science that.
Yeah, science, damn it.
It's like if science were a mythology, like a sort of a scienceology of some kind.
Oh, don't go there.
You're going to get us sued.
Not as long as I leave out one letter. So, as great and insane as Japanese Dynaman is, it's no American Dynaman.
Simulcast live from Tokyo.
What time is it?
I don't know. Let me check my watch.
American Dynaman. For those not familiar with it.
Okay, well, now, you watched the dub version of the first episode, though, right? With the sushi bar introduction?
Okay, so, Dynaman, for those unfamiliar with it, is a...
The story of five young, good-looking Japanese friends from all walks of life.
Who's telling this story for it, Max? You or Mickey?
Me. I. It's... USA had a late-night Brock... Yes, late night Brock. There's our Pokemon reference for the show.
Late night Brock sounds kind of dirty. Sounds like some kind of odd euphemism.
It sounds like something Brock would do.
It does, doesn't it?
That's what makes it a euphemism.
He whips out his Onyx and just goes to town. Where was I? Okay, so late night television programming, early 80s cable, cheap.
Wouldn't it be late 80s, technically?
All 80s is early 80s. Doesn't matter. It could be 89. It's still considered early 80s. Anyway, so, long story short, they grabbed
Dynaman
for whatever reason and decided, let's just put on mute and write new dialogue. And so they did, and then they aired it with the explanation of it's a live simulcast translation, meaning that as it airs in Japan, it airs in America, translated automatically by pre-Google or whatever.
By a gadget. By their auto-dubbing gadget.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's by science.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's the science from earlier. It's right. Still around.
But specifically gadgets this time.
Yeah.
Yes. And so what it gave us was something ridiculous and hilarious and wonderful. It's cheesy in a way the first season of Power Rangers could only hope to be.
In general, I haven't enjoyed, straight dubbed live action stuff like Ultraman series. But, you know, this doesn't even try to be what it started out as.
It kind of takes a Samurai Pizza Cats approach.
I never got to watch Samurai Pizza Cats.
That's a very good analogy to it, actually. Yeah, it's almost exactly like what they do with Samurai Pizza Cats.
Just basically, okay, you have rough translations of the script, and you toss it out entirely and make up your own stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely... What?
Go ahead.
Of course. Don't you know anything about science?
Or scientific theology?
That we had posted on Twitter Theater was The Lizard of Oz, which basically they decided from the episode into a movie agent monster trying to cast a Wizard of Oz remake starring a whole bunch of lizards.
Now, I've only watched two episodes of the dub so far, but in the first episode, Bernie Tanaka and Mel Fujitsu were concerned with making a music video.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's like a recurring theme through the dub that they're trying to be some kind of producers evilly. Fort Max, you watched three episodes of this. Does that
there wasn't much of a plot in the Rhino Man episode. It was just that there's a rhino.
Good enough.
Well, but yeah.
Sounds kind of like Jungle Fury.
No, because the acting was better.
Poor Jungle Fury.
I think you mean poor Geki Ranger.
No, Geki Ranger was good.
No, that's what I'm saying. Poor Geki Ranger got translated into Jungle Fury.
So poor Jungle Fury. But it's still not as bad as Overdrive.
Okay, point taken.
Yeah.
We're losing focus again.
Now, let's see. The third episode, which involved a monster created in a part of a flipper cloning experiment.
And that was the episode I remember watching as a kid that I actually had on VHS and watched it several times. There was a mermaid in that episode.
Yes.
The sad part is, I mean, you know, that was part of the original Dynamite. That's not just something they made up to make the episode funnier.
Which just shows up the original Dynaman was awesome, too, because they had mermaids for no real reason.
But yeah, some of the best part of this is the names of the characters in the dub.
Like how Dinah Pink's name is Slow Jin.
Well, I was thinking more like Dr. Ho with his laboratory / daycare center.
Yes.
With Comic Relief Bot.
Who is funnier and more endearing than Datus will ever be.
Especially having only one eye and the other one drawn on.
Yeah.
Yes, you have Wooshi, Huba, Frankie, and of course, Cowboy.
The slow-thinking weapons expert.
Yes.
Main squeeze, Slow Jin.
I'm not sure what slow-thinking weapons expert is supposed to make you feel about the character.
And, of course, the...
No, I like that Frankie's tagline was the human outboard motor.
Yeah. Which, well, it fit in with the clip.
Yeah. Which I imagine was the only time that ever happened, though, that one clip.
It could have been, like, stock footage.
No, it actually also happened... in the Rhino Man episode, I think, because his vehicle is a surfboard thing.
Okay.
And it also works just as well on ground.
Of course it does.
So, but yeah, and of course the super dynamite attack in the dub is called Dyna Human Pinwheel.
Which is a better name.
Yeah.
The show, being aimed at adults, it also has some racier humor than what we'd expect from Sentai in general.
Oh, like the one woman and her one night stand with Dr. Ho.
Well, that when they're talking about the motorcycle, saying how it's a cherry bike.
I recorded that clip out of that episode. I'm going to insert it somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I inserted it into your mom.
Well, that was the general idea.
Great place to insert things.
Your mom has a contractual obligation towards insertion.
Contract and insert.
Or would it be insert and then contract?
Well, usually when I attempt to insert into your mom, it makes me contract.
I imagine it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, the
it's like, remember in Temple of Doom when Indy had to reach his hand into that hole full of insects to push the button to save their lives?
No, I just remember the pull the heart out bit.
Oh, the I'm not Shavai?
I mean, is it any wonder that's the thing that I remember most?
Mola Ram was awesome.
I Mola Rammed your mom.
Well played.
So, another great thing about the American Dynaman is the soundtrack.
Yes.
Because tell me now.
That's just crazy.
How can a show that features more Stay in the Time, a cover of Funky Town, and how can this not be the best Sentai show ever?
Oh, it can't.
Because Flynn's not in it.
Or Ziggy. But I think we get past that.
Little bit.
Morris Day and the mother f***ing time.
Buzz.
Eh. Okay.
Yeah. So what now?
It's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And probably that soundtrack is going to keep it from ever getting a full DVD release.
I'm surprised
well, that's
that
one
even
of many
aired
reasons.
With,
yeah.
I'm surprised they even aired with that in it.
I seem to recall they were a lot looser with song royalties back in the 80s.
I don't remember. I was only five.
It was the 80s. Nobody cared about anything.
Yeah. As
especially
long as it brought
fashion.
In money, that's all that mattered.
But yeah, USA Network's Dynaman is one of the best Sentai-related things that's out there.
I'm immensely pleased that it lives up to my gilded memories of it.
They're
yeah,
also
I mean, that's
great. The reptiles that go wee.
Yes.
Wee! Wee!
Was anybody else thrilled to see that they left the commercials in?
And
oh, yeah,
some
you
of
know,
the videos
get,
they
you
do,
can get
yeah.
$500 cash back on that car.
It was mostly makeup and pantyhose and stuff.
Lee press-on nails.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of feminine products being advertised during the show.
I'm sorry, it was
reason.
Miss Lee's press-on nails.
Yeah, for teen girls that are watching television shows at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
I guess USA didn't care much about demographics in general. It's just we'll wear them whenever we want, just deal with it.
It was probably also it's also a case of they're paying money. We'll air the ads.
Yeah.
Well, it's a case of, okay, they're only paying this much money, so the ads are going to go here.
Or it's kind of like how Mystery Science Theater had nothing but Mentos ads for a while.
I miss those ads. Yeah, people stopped caring about Mentos when they stopped making those ads.
Well, that was the only thing about Mentos worth caring about.
I know, and they built them up really huge. It's like how Snapple died when they fired the Snapple lady.
Mm-hmm. Or remember, Sure deodorant?
Yeah.
No.
Which pretty much died after they stopped making the commercials with everybody raising their arms over their heads.
Yeah, raise your hand if you're sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Big Red Gum.
After I was thinking of Big Red from Saturday Night Live, though.
But no, after they stopped using the familiar
the jingle.
The familiar song. Where's Big Red now?
Nowhere.
Exactly.
It's fallen to orbit. Although orbit is better gum than Big Red anyway.
So what point were we trying to make?
Well, we were having a commercial
80s commercials
break
were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was our commercial break.
Well, yes, and we also have the female Night Flight announcer doing the bumper for Dynamite.
Yeah, and it's an oddly detailed bumper, too.
An episode-specific bumper.
Yeah. I don't ever recall hearing that for another show before.
It is kind of odd. Obviously, this is somebody who had nothing better to do at work at 1 in the morning than just sit there and record episode-specific commercial bumpers.
I kind of think that probably that's how Night Flight started. It's just there's people there and then having to air, so let's just start filming.
Yeah, and Night Flight essentially was just airing whatever. Apparently some, like one night it would be music videos, the next night it would be cheesy 70s or 80s Hong Kong Kung Fu movie. Then it would be some
Dynaman.
Yeah, then it would be like
some
B-movie from that would be along the lines of Mystery Science Theater fodder. Then it would be Dynaman. Then it was essentially whatever we're pulling out of the prize box or something.
And see, this is why 80s cable is so much better than what we have now.
Yeah.
Because you would just get all this insane random crap on it that you would never be able to see any other way.
Pretty much the only thing that 80s
It was
cable,
basically the YouTube of its time.
Yeah, basically the only thing 80s cable is missing is the Daily Show.
And Harvey Birdman.
And Bill O'Reilly. Oh, wait, no.
I think you mean Colbert.
Yeah, I get them confused.
So basically, what we're getting down to here is that we all had a really good time with Dynaman except for Paladin.
No, I thought it was cool.
Okay, you just haven't said anything at all.
Yes.
Also, DVDs now.
Let it go.
No, we need DVDs of Cyber Squad and VR Troopers first, and Mystic Knights.
Well, Cyber Squad can wait. They're good quality. They're good quality things of that online, thanks to Deke putting them online. So,
Love that they keep their mecha inside a dam.
Yes, yeah,
physics of this.
I have a conceptual issue with a hangar being behind a dam.
How does that work exactly?
Right.
It's same way it did in 2007 Transformers movie.
Is it like...
No, see, that had the excuse of bad writing. I guess
like,
the dam could be like
the dam,
150
like the reflecting
feet.
Pool in front of the White House?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, a couple hundred feet thick and just a thin layer of water on top.
It's like 6 inches of water on top of a hangar.
Well, I mean, that's the only way I can think that would work. But then the dam wouldn't work so well anymore.
Well, if the dam was fake to begin with, it wouldn't have to really work, would it?
Oh, you're saying right. The entire body of water is just a 6-inch pool.
Yeah.
Well, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or it is a actual dam, it's just that the actual dam is quite a ways further back. And what you see is a structure built in front of the dam.
With a pool on top.
Like a false front.
Yeah, it's like you have the entire
like
hangar
with your mom.
Built to look like a dam in front of the actual dam.
Like your mom.
With your mom, that's falsies. There's a difference. I really want to get some Dynaman toys now.
No, you don't.
I mean, let's just make my own. That's probably better anyway.
I would imagine so. Yeah, just go to Toys R Us and get some of the Markdown Jungle Fury figures and paint the Dynaman designs onto them.
Yeah, sadly, my Toys R Us has finally gotten rid of all their Jungle Fury figures now that I decided I want some.
No, I'm sure they are still there somewhere, even if they're not with the other Power Rangers toys.
No, now that he wants... You know how it is. Once you want something that's been sitting there for ages, it's gone.
It's gone.
Exactly.
Like the damn Insecticons.
See, they're still... I still saw one sitting around a couple weeks ago, but I have the car reissue, so I don't want the Insecticons. So
it's still full price
anyway, there.
Isn't it?
Well, now that you're wanting it, they're probably gone.
But they were full price anyway, weren't they?
Probably. I don't know. I wasn't looking to see what price they were, because I didn't care, because I wasn't going to buy them.
Well, a lot of good you are, Fort Max.
Because I already had the Japanese reissue, so...
The ones with the Energon cube?
Yeah. Cubes.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I only want to get Insecticons now so I can get the $10 Star Trek transporter playset from Big Lots. Because they fit in it.
As you take it, you've been reading Insecticomics?
Of course.
I'm lost here.
So is everybody else.
Well, also... you need Insecticons if you're going to have Straxus, so...
That's occurred to me also. I need Insecticons to cower around his dropshot throne.
That throne is the best idea ever, by the way. I've recreated it with Scattershot.
Yeah, it looks better in the blue, I have to admit. Too bad I only want a Huffer for it.
Which version?
The... Power Core Combiner Huffer?
No, which version?
I don't know, I haven't got it yet.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
So you don't know if you have the good-looking version or the boring version?
I hope it's the orange one.
Do you have Huffer already?
Hmm?
Do you already have a Huffer?
I got one from your mom.
Huffer? I hardly know her. Ha!
Ha ha! Double entendre!
And Tendre Supreme.
Entendre Grande? No, Entendre Belgrande.
There are two versions of Huffer. There's
yeah, Entendre Belgrande.
The hood is bright orange and the other where it matches the rest of the plastic.
Yeah, I don't like the one that's all yellow.
Yeah, that one looks boring.
The orange hood makes contrast and makes the vehicle mode not look like Machine Wars-y completely.
Yeah.
That's the thing about...
Machine Wars-y, it needs more recycled.
Here's the thing.
And entire panels missing from the instructions.
Here's the thing. In the solid yellow, Huffer looks like Machine Wars hubcap. You know, at least with the hood a different color, it's set apart a little bit. What I need is more...
Even the solid orange Huffer has more than one plastic color. Well, two.
Yes, but the majority
well,
of
so did Hubcap,
vehicle...
yellow and black.
Which, isn't that what Huffer has?
Yep.
So there you go. And the majority is still yellow.
Yeah.
No, what I need is more sets of limbs.
Well, they're on sale right now, so go buy
I know,
a load of them.
I should get at least one set while they're $15. But then I would have to buy either Double Clutch or Mudslinger.
Clint's great on both of those.
No way in hell I'm buying Aerial Bots.
The Aerial Bots have the best limbs, though.
No, well, the
That's
aren't
not
so
the
good.
Way
the legs
I
are terrible.
It.
I like the legs. I like the legs because they stay on. They don't pop off with people looking at them funny.
However, you know, they will fall over if you look at them funny.
You know, I have to get the set with Nemesis Huffer in it anyway. So I'll get two Aerial Bot limbs. That way I'm not going to buy the Aerial Bot set and have extras of those limbs.
I guess I'm just weird for liking the Aerial Bot set.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Skyburst isn't the greatest, but he's not the worst either.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy Darkstream either.
That sounds too much like a urine problem.
Kinda, yeah.
Like if you haven't drunk enough water and you're dehydrated.
Unless you can't even hold the axe.
Yeah, what's the point of having an axe if you can't hold it by its penis?
Dong Slayer.
Did anybody see the little toy comic I made with Smolder?
I'm sure I did. I just don't remember it specifically at the moment.
Hang on, I'll get it.
I can't remember every awesome thing you do. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of memory.
Because you're old.
I do remember Ron's Under 3 comics.
I don't remember the Under Three comics.
Starring Under Three.
I gathered that part, yeah. Fort Max.
It's essentially just the Lionhead showing up and blowing up stuff.
Yes, mini Kondite.
I cook grows two additional dongs.
Needs the Smiling Bob music.
It does, but at least I put the right Megatron in there for it.
It's also an excellent use of that space shuttle minicon thing.
Skyblast? Skyburst?
Yeah. Skyblast. Generic name number three.
Skyblast. Well, I recall that minicon was supposed to be Skyfire, except that they Mattel stole the name out from under them.
Goddamn Mattel.
With their Max Steel toy line.
And actually, I think they registered the trademark within maybe about a week of Hasbro applying for the regular trademark for the Robots in Disguise toy.
Right. Which is why that'll be the last Skyfire we get for some time.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Just as well, Jetfire is a better name.
I hate Mattel.
Not really.
Now, Mattel is awesome at times, specifically with Comic-Con exclusive Orko.
With accessory prints, Adam. I know, you mention that almost every week.
No, Orko.
Yeah, really.
Just lift up that skirt and have at it.
There's probably nothing under there anyway.
Just eyes.
Well, he has hands, right?
Dynaman came out in 1988. According to the copyright date on the credits here.
So it was Japanese or USA?
The dub.
USA.
Not the,
USA.
The Japanese one was 83 to 84. So the dub was the
later. I wonder why they chose Dynaman specifically.
I don't know.
Maybe it was just the cheapest.
Yeah, I mean...
Though I also like that the plots that I'm... I also like how it... How all the kids that are ever shown are orphans.
Yeah.
I care.
My interpretation of that is that everybody in Dinatown who has a kid abandons it.
So you're saying that the adults in Dinatown are smart.
And are also all orphans.
It's a vicious cycle. I love the final gag at the end of this episode, that they keep walking towards the camera smiling.
Yeah.
Try open your mouth a little.
I can't move my jaw. And I'll say again what I said on Twitter. We need to Dynaman some Ghost Ager.
Yeah, I think that needs to happen.
If we do, I nominate Paladin for the voice of Ghost Ager Knight.
Second.
There's something wrong with you guys.
See? It's perfect.
Perfect. Now say, get away from me, kid. You bother me.
Get away from me, kid. You bother me.
I don't think Paladin was saying that as in trying to be Ghost Ager Knight. I think he was actually saying that to us.
Though, apparently there were also two episodes of Dynaman that were not aired, but shown at a convention or something, if Wikipedia is to be trusted on this, but...
Well, why wouldn't you trust Wikipedia?
Or was convention episode the title of the episodes?
It could be both.
Well, there are only six that I've been able to find on YouTube, and I've...
Right, we need to see what Dave turns up in his tapes.
Yeah.
But Dave's not here, man.
He's dead.
Okay, well, he's not dead yet.
Well, no, they're dead, Dave. Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Yay, Red Dwarf.
Wait, what?
That was a Red Dwarf reference.
Don't tell me you haven't watched Red Dwarf.
No, I have. I just have not seen every episode. And
it was the first episode.
Yeah, I never got to see the first episode.
Oh, okay, well.
PBS station here plays an episode every weekend, so
it's on Netflix streaming as well, so
I don't have a Netflix account.
Neither do I. PBS is free though.
Well, yeah, but my PBS does not do that.
granted, I mean, our PBS station's awesome. I mean, it was actually the first station in the U.S. to pick up Flying Circus, so...
Well, and PBS in Chicago is pretty great, too. It's just around here, everything sucks. Right, Mickey?
Yeah. Welcome to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Land of enchantment.
Wait, no, it's a different state.
Yeah, well...
Okay, so...
It just makes me look better by comparison, really.
Do you think we've talked out Dynaman?
Yes.
I could keep stating over and over again how awesome I think the show is, but I think...
Yeah, we had fun.
We did remember our digital watches, right?
Yes.
Let me check.
Our swatches, even.
Okay, so for next week we have... what episode did I say? No. What episode did I say it was? It's something from Die Ranger.
Was it 22?
18.
I don't know. I'm looking. It is 18. Episode 18 of Die Ranger.
Is that the one where
the White Ranger
goes around abusing powers on a skateboard?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. I've been wanting to watch that episode.
Yeah. I always wanted to take that scene and get Tommy clips and dub them over.
So, in other words, it'd be just a string of, aw, mans.
More or less, yeah.
And the occasional, yeah.
Aw, man.
XV, you know what needs to be done.
Sadly, yes. Damn it.
And probably throw in a no way or two in there.
Mickey, why are you the one with the Mac, but I'm the one who does all the video crap?
Because he doesn't know how to do it.
That's why
because
I've got a
he's
Mac.
Smart enough to get someone else to do it.
So that's the real joy of having a Mac, because you can deny being able to do anything. So, oh, I've got a Mac, I can't do it.
But Macs are made for
Macs can't
video.
Do word processing. I can't type up your resume. I'm sorry.
Well, that I would believe.
Macs don't support the internet.
But Macs are made for, you know, video and heavy-duty image editing.
Well, here's the thing. He's old. He wouldn't know how to do that stuff.
And I'm totally not going to claim credit to an Electric Six fan video I made from Buffy clips.
Good. But didn't you just?
No, I'm not claiming any credit to that.
But by not claiming any credit, aren't you kind of claiming credit?
So what do we have next week exactly?
Episode 18 of Die Ranger.
That'll be great.
I'll see if I can put together some kind of Die Ranger review.
It'll be great, or at least a minute and a half of it will be great. Which is, it's usually what I expect out of your mom.
Way more greatness than we usually get from Ghostsager.
I think Paladin should review Tor for next week.
That'll take like 5 seconds.
Well, I'll stretch it out to 3 minutes.
That's what she said.
Gotta get your nickel's worth, right?
She said 3 inches, not 3 minutes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Anything else this week?
Well, Green Candles is on PowerRangers.com on Tuesday and Wednesday.
And if the show manages to go up tomorrow, that would actually be useful information.
Yes.
So keep an eye on that Fort Max and see if there's any wacky dubbing errors in there. I guess you wouldn't call them errors, but whatever you'd want to call.
Oddities.
Easter eggs.
Any odd leftovers from the master tapes.
Yeah.
Not sure what there could possibly be, but that's kind of the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping we'll get to see more. We'll get more of No Way Guy in those.
No way.
I have my doubts.
But still.
We've got lots of other
If
audio
it did happen,
gems.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
I have my doubts.
I thought we said Dynaman was the greatest thing ever.
Or at least Mickey thinks so.
Well, Dynaman wouldn't be showing up in Power Rangers at all. So.
Be funny if it. Actually, from the first episode of Dynaman, you know that. Part where the chasm opens and the fireball comes out. Didn't that get used in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Not that effect shot.
You sure? It looked
kind
the same.
Effect all the time.
It was. It's a different. It's a similar shot, but it's not the same shot.
You wouldn't think they'd bother recreating that effect, would you? Just say no.
After 10 years, probably.
I said just say no.
You're late.
Well, yes, obviously, or Fort Max wouldn't even be here if somebody knew how to just say no.
I don't think any of us would be here if any of us knew how to say no.
I think that was a your mom joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
No, you're... Well, your mom can't say no when faced with a nickel.
Or cake.
Canadian nickels.
Still a nickel.
Kind of.
Well, it's more of a nickel now than it was back then. Or I guess really our nickel is less of a nickel than it used to be.
Especially what? After giving it to your mom. Mm.
At least it's not a penny. Fuck pennies.
Aren't they like made of plastic now or something?
No.
Is I think they're made of failed right? dreams.
Well, they're certainly not copper anymore. Okay, well, I think that's it for this week.
Yeah.
I think you should close the show on that Funky Town theme from Dynaman.
No, one episode, I think, it was, they had a song playing that, was Funky Town what Weird Al based Living with a Hernia on, or is that a different song?
No, that's James Brown's Living in America.
Okay, that is, Living in America is in one episode, but, of course, my brain kept playing the Weird Al version, so...
Yeah, Diamond had James Brown and Morris Day. How much more awesome can it get?
Maybe that's why it only lasted for 8 episodes. They couldn't afford to do any more because of the music.
Or they just realized they couldn't top it.
Well, see, okay, I know we're trying to end the show, but that's another weird thing about this. Why was there only 8 episodes? That's a really irregular number.
Money.
Was that odd for back then?
Huh?
It's cable. It's cable. Any number is going to be normal.
Of course, seeing how low budget all this stuff was back then, they might have only had enough money to buy 8 episodes to translate.
Well, then obviously what they should have done is just keep retranslating them. Over and over.
Oh, and also one thing that I did notice is that most of the episodes apparently reused a clip of Dinah Red cutting off Prince's tail.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't remember that from Lizard of Oz.
It was in the Dolphin episode.
Well, I didn't watch the Dolphin episode.
Well, is that something the American version spliced in, or was the Japanese show reusing that footage?
Well, that would be the question, wouldn't it?
The American show. It was what USA was doing.
Are we sure? Or are we just guessing on that?
It was obviously spliced in.
Okay.
How obviously?
The fact that it was the same tale every time?
Well, we don't know they didn't do that in Japan, too. I mean, this was 80s Sentai. I mean,
no, actually, I think Megiddo did... spend the rest of the series with one of his tails missing.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it grew back. Because he's not a lizard person.
Well, he still had more tails than everyone else, so it's okay.
No.
He can still be their leader.
The Emperor had the most tails.
That's why he was the Emperor.
Well, everyone else except for the Emperor, then.
What was Megiddo's dub name? Tried to make him British.
Or something?
Nigel.
Nigel
Cochran. See, Cochran, or...
You know what the saddest part was? The bad fake Japanese accents they were doing the Dynaman with were still better than the British accent they tried to do Nigel with. I mean, really, how bad is that?
Yo, and dub of Ghost Sager, actually play an Australian Ranger.
Well, wouldn't that just be Fort Max talking in his normal voice then?
Yeah.
Or British.
Yeah, I love in the American episode where they cure the lizard people by spraying them with the fire extinguisher. And they tell acid. Them it's acid.
Yeah. And of course, also, the reason why...
I was disappointed when they didn't dub screaming into that.
Well, and I also like the origin given to Bernie Tanaka and Mel Fujitsu. It's that they were I'm good friends with Dr. They were partners with Dr. Ho until they were burned in a until they were horribly disfigured in an accident. But they still blame me. But really, who knew about acid back then?
Maybe the producers.
Okay, I think we could probably go on like this for a while yet, so we'll just cut it off here.
Go on.
I've been doing this record for almost 3 fucking hours. Please cut it off.
Well, we haven't been recording for 3 hours. We've just been on Skype call for almost 3 hours. I blame Mickey for that. If he hadn't shown up at 6:20, I wouldn't have even started the conversation.
I wasn't the one that started calling people.
Fort Max. Of course, if you people would have come up with something to talk about, we could have started early and been done already.
But we still didn't come up with anything to talk about.
Which is why we're going on 3 hours now.
Which is why we need Eddie Van Halen on guitar.
Yeah. Okay, that's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
F*** you, you're cool, I'm out.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
A real cherry.
That's just like Dinah Pink. Oh, you bet.
How could you know?
Oh, kids.
How fast does she go?
Pretty fast from what I've heard.
We're not just talking about the motorcycle.
That's not very nice.
Hey, cut it out, you knuckleheads. Well, I'm gonna try this baby out.
Don't fall. Don't worry, Doc. I'm much too good looking.